One evening, a father was sitting watching television, and his son was in the same room, and all of a sudden his son said, "Dad," they always speak like that, sons, don't they? "Dad," and the dad said, "Yes, son." "Dad, who built the Suez Canal?" "Oh, now," he said, "oh, I'm not sure, son, I don't think I know that one." "Oh, all right." And he went back to watching television. A little while later, he said, "Dad." "Yes, son." "Dad, who discovered penicillin?" "Oh, now you got me there, son. I don't know, I was never much good at that at school. No, sorry, I don't know the answer to that one." "Oh, okay." Went quiet again. Dad went back to his program. Shortly, "Dad." "Yes, son." "Dad, what's the capital of Italy?" "I don't know, son, I was never any good at geography." "Oh, all right." "Dad, you don't mind me asking you all these questions, do you?" "No, son, I don't mind. If you don't ask, you're never going to learn anything, are you?" We all know helping, perhaps a lot of us know anyway, helping our children with their homework. Helping is one of those things, as long as the helping isn't actually the whole doing of the homework. Now, I'd like to introduce you to a dear departed member of our family. And Mark's just going to put a picture up on the screen there, or there. That's Diggory. He's no longer with us. The faithful hound, Diggory. Frank knows him very well. In fact, Frank's probably still got the scars. But Diggory, oh yeah, well no, ah, yeah, ah. Not just Frank. Daniel. Dare to be a Daniel. Dare to stay in a minibus with Diggory. It was a lovely, lovely dog. He had his little foibles here and there. Don't we all? Don't we all? I mean, probably most of us don't go biting people. Young children and old men. No, Frank wasn't the only one. But Diggory, he was a fabulous dog. Look, Mick and Gloria used to love him. They couldn't wait to have him round their house, could you? He did tear up your mail for you, didn't he? And smash up various things. And I want you to try to put all these slight little faults, little foibles out of your mind. Several times, very often, if I was out in the garden, if I was digging, maybe digging up a root, digging up an old, you know, a stump out of the garden, and I'd get down to the root, and I'd start pulling on it, Diggory'd be there. He'd get his teeth round the root and pull. And then if I start digging, he would start digging as well. So I'd get mud and dirt all shoveled up all over me. And if I got to the root, so I'd pull up this old stump and the root. Diggory'd get his teeth round the root and start pulling as well. He'd want to help me. He was a great dog. Despite Barry, will you stop this? I'm not happy with you. So, Diggory, he always wanted to help. And you know, my subject this morning is the Lord is my helper, or the Lord my help. And that's what I have. And right from the word go, God has always intended his people to live with help. Never live on your own, you know, totally separated from everybody else. Never to be completely independent. Because God is always right from the word go. And when Eve was first created, you know, Adam and Eve, a helper, a partner, someone who would assist, someone who was good at things that Adam wasn't good at. Someone, an equal partner in life. But we're not looking at male and female. And of course, the trend nowadays is you can just declare whatever gender you are now, can't you? So what do you want to be today? Yeah? And unfortunately, that is Satan at work in our world. He's trying to break down the things which are not changeable. But God created us to be, to have help, and to be helpers as well. And I'd like to just start with a reference. In Psalm 118, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Let Israel say, his love endures forever. Let the house of Aaron say, his love endures forever. Let those who fear the Lord say, his love endures forever. Is there a little pattern coming out here about God's love? In my anguish I cried to the Lord, and he answered by setting me free. The Lord is with me. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? The Lord is with me. He is my helper. I will look in triumph on my enemies. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princes. All nations surrounded me, but in the name of the Lord I cut them off. So here we have, look, in that verse there, in verse 7, the Lord is with me, he is my helper. Now you might think to yourself, well actually, of course, that's not really right, is it? Maybe I'm God's helper. He's the one who does it. And if you ever, has anybody ever seen the film The King and I? Anybody remember that? The King of Siam could never admit that he actually couldn't do anything. It was always, you know, whenever Anna said, you know, I'll help you with this. And he would say, no, I will do it. You may help me. In other words, he hadn't got a clue what he was doing, but because he couldn't possibly admit. And of course, we see that echo through corporate life, don't we? And the bosses always let, you know, let the underlings do the work. If it goes well, take the credit for it. If it goes wrong, nothing to do with me. They did it wrong. You know, so that is sort of one of those endemic things. But God's not like that. We see what God is like through the scriptures. And the fact that Jesus, though he was God, he put himself in the position of being a servant. And if we go on in the same psalm there, a little bit later, verse 19, open for me the gates of righteousness. I will enter and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord through which the righteous may enter. It's talking about the people of God entering in to something or other. I will give thanks, for you answered me. You have become my salvation. Look at this, verse 22. The stone the builders rejected has become the capstone. The Lord has done this, and it is marvellous in our eyes. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. O Lord, save us. Grant us success. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. From the house of the Lord we bless you. The Lord is God, and he has made his light shine upon us. With boughs in hand, join in the festal procession up to the horns of the altar. You are my God, and I will give you thanks. You are my God, and I will exalt you. We've just been doing that. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. The Lord is my helper. And then what does it do? Pretty well straight after that, it starts talking about... pardon me. Oh, sorry, that was a bit loud. It starts talking about salvation. And the fact that God has got a plan of salvation for us. And then he starts talking about Jesus. You know, the stone the builders have rejected has become the capstone. The cornerstone. And about the boughs, the festal procession of Jesus riding into Jerusalem. He was riding towards his sacrifice for us. So the Lord is my helper. And in the same psalm, the psalmist is talking about Jesus coming to be among us. And we know that Jesus did all those things for us. And we all need help. Don't we, brothers and sisters? We all need help. I can remember one... I mean, I don't know if Barry remembers this, but we were in the same class at school for most of the time. and except if he got sent out or anything like that. Sorry, I just couldn't resist. I was just laughing at my dog. Anyway, one time we had an RE lesson, and our RE teacher seemed to enjoy very poor health. I say enjoy. He was hardly ever there. And we had a substitute teacher. I can't even remember his name, but I can remember what he said. He'd been in the RAF, and he came into this RE lesson. He obviously did it just from his own personal experience. And he said, when I was stationed abroad in the RAF, he said, we all pray at some point or another in our lives. And he wasn't a Christian. And he said, I saw one of my buddies get into a plane, and we were stationed I forget where it was, but it was obviously in some sort of a Mediterranean country. He said, he took off, single engine plane, and as he took off, the engine failed. And he crashed into the mountain that was on the flight path. If you don't have full power, you'd never get over the mountain. His engine stalled on takeoff, and he crashed and he died. And he said, a few weeks later, I got into my plane, and I was taking off. And as I took off, my engine stalled. He said, I prayed. I said, God, get me out of this one. I need your help. Help me, God. And he said, the engine started again. And he cleared the mountain. And he was still there. Obviously, he lived to tell the tale. That did not make him a Christian. It didn't make him turn to the Lord. It just made him thank his lucky stars or his good luck or whatever it was. But that story always stayed with me. The fact is that we all, at some point, we call to God for help. The hymn writer and clergyman, John Newton, who wrote Amazing Grace, had been a pretty reprehensible character in his younger days. He was a slave trader. He was working on ships, and they were sailing slaves from one area to another. And he was part of that awful trade. A shocking thing, which of course we know is awful. Of course, slavery still goes on today, but that doesn't make it any better. And one night, he was in a terrible storm in the sailing ship. This is in the 1700s. And there was a shocking storm which was tearing the ship apart. There was a hole in the ship. It was off the coast of Ireland. It was in the Atlantic. And a terrible, terrible, terrible storm. And he got down on his knees and he prayed to God, God, help me. If you help me, I'll turn away from my wicked ways. And as the ship was tossed around and it lurched, the cargo in the hold, I don't think it was the slaves themselves, but it was some cargo, shifted and blocked up the hole where the ship was taking on water. And the ship managed to survive the storm and drifted ashore. And I guess the majority of the people on the ship were saved. And he'd called out to God to help him. God had helped him, and he did dedicate the rest of his life to serving God. A little while, he became a born-again Christian. Not immediately, but afterwards, at some point. God is our help. The true terminology for it, the actual words in Hebrew are Jehovah Ezer, E-Z-E-R. Jehovah Ezer, my God, my help. That's what it means. And the word Ezer, E-Z-E-R, Ezer, is in the word Ebenezer. You've all heard the word Ebenezer. You always think of Ebenezer Scrooge, don't you? If you hear the name Ebenezer, it's always Ebenezer Scrooge. But Ebenezer, I think I've got a scripture for this one, Mark, if you just pop that up. There was a terrible time when Samuel and the Israelites were under a lot of attack by the Philistines. That did happen rather a lot, but the people repented of their sins, they destroyed their idols that they'd turned to, and a fantastic victory was won. And Samuel, it says, Samuel took up a stone and set it between Mizpah and Shen. He named it Ebenezer. So the E-Z-E-R is that, my help. And it means, thus far has the Lord helped us. It means, up to this point, God has helped us. He's brought us to this point in our lives. A big stone. We looked a few weeks ago about God, my rock. These things are all tied up. Have you got any Ebenezers in your life where you can actually say, God help me to that point? This stone, this thing in my memory that God actually helped me with is still with me. Have you got Ebenezers in your life? Not Scrooges, don't mean you have to be like that. But thus far, up to this point, God has brought me to this point in my life, in my walk with him. Because if you've got Ebenezers in your life, meaning you have got things and times you can look back on and say, God helped me to that point, that will strengthen your faith, and it will encourage other people if you share it with them. We don't just have to have one Ebenezer in our lives. A stone, something rock solid that's in our life that says, God help me through to this point. So that's all tied up with the Lord my helper. But that's the Old Testament. I'd like us to look into the New Testament about God my helper in Hebrews 13. Keep on loving each other as brothers. Do not forget to entertain strangers, for by so doing, some people have entertained angels without knowing it. There's another few sermons there. But remember those in prison as if you were their fellow prisoners, and those who are mistreated as if you yourselves were suffering. Marriage should be honoured by all, and the marriage bed kept pure for God. We'll judge the adulterer and all sexually immoral. Keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have, because God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. And so we say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? It's the same quote from the Psalms, but it's talking about keeping yourself in line with God's will for you. Free from sexual sin. Free from the love of money. The things that are so rampant in our society. The things which most people will tell the norm is that these things don't matter. Get as rich as you can. Do what you can to get as much money as you can. Do whatever you feel like. If it's good for you, know, it feels good to you, do what you want. And you can just see in the news at the moment shocking tales of someone with total sexual immorality. But he's not alone. It's in so much. And it's, again, it's Satan breaking down the things that God has said, this is the way I want you to live. This is best for you. This will give you the best life that you can imagine. But man, under Satan's influence, says, no, that's not right. God didn't really mean that. That's not really it. You can do this. It's okay. It'll make you feel better. It will fulfill your life much more. Nothing could be more further from the truth. And again, God is our helper. If we need help in our daily lives, of course we need help in our daily lives. We need help to protect us from temptation, to keep us looking to Jesus, to keep us being disciples of him, to keep us encouraging our brothers and sisters. We need God's help. But here's an interesting one. In John chapter 14, now this is the New International Version. This is what we generally use. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The Word cannot accept him, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, because he lives with you and will be in you. But I've got it in the Amplified Version. Doesn't mean it's louder. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another comforter, counselor, helper, intercessor, advocate, strengthener, and standby, that he may remain with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, welcome, take to its heart, because it doesn't see him or know and recognize him. But you know and recognize him, for he lives with you constantly and will be in you. Notice that one of the meanings of the word there, of comforter, is helper. And that's, isn't it interesting? In the Old Testament, God was the helper. And then God talks about, God gives those glimpses of the future, what's coming along. Jesus is coming along. He's going to be your helper. He is going to show you the way to live. He's going to show you the way of salvation. He's going to help people. He's going to help people who are afflicted in the mind and in the body and in the spirit. He's going to raise the dead. He's going to do all these things. He's going to be your helper. Because he wants you to be involved in it. He wants us to be involved. It's not just he's going to do it. He's going to help us. And you look, whenever in your life you face things, you know you're going through them. You are going through them. There's no doubt about that. God knows that. But God wants to help you. And then, when Jesus says, I'm going back to the Father. I've done my work here on earth. But don't worry. I'm not going to leave you on your own. I'm going to give you another helper. Another comforter, counselor, helper, intercessor. And that's the Holy Spirit. And he's going to come and you're going to know him. The rest of the world won't recognize this. They won't be able to accept it. They won't even acknowledge it. But you do. You will. The people who know me will know this. That he is coming and he will live in you. He will live with you and he will be in you. And when you accept the Lord Jesus as your personal saviour and you become born again, God puts his Holy Spirit in you. But then very often, most often I believe, you might want to go to God and say, Lord, I want you to baptise me. I want you to fill me. I want you to release me in the Holy Spirit. I need your help, Lord. I need the help. In the days that I live in, I need your help to be able to deal with what I come against. The opposition. People who need healing. People who need those words that will bring comfort and bring release. Those and all the other gifts that God gives us through his Holy Spirit. And that is what it means. Jehovah Ezer, E-Z-E-R, my God, my helper. But I came across this. I thought this was really fantastic. If you could just put this up, Mark, that'd be great. Right, that's my Lord, my help. So, but if you look at Psalm 23, there's an absolutely amazing thing here, really. So many of the qualities and names of God are in Psalm 23. Look, the Lord is my shepherd. Well, that's Jehovah Ra, which means the Lord my shepherd. I lack nothing. He's Jehovah Jireh. He, the Lord my provider. Verse 2, he makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the quiet waters. That's Jehovah Shalom, the Lord my peace. Verse 3, he refreshes my soul. Jehovah Rophe, the Lord my healer. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. He's Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord of righteousness. And verse 4, even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. He is Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is present. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. This is the one we're dealing with today. He is Jehovah Ezer, the Lord my help. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. He's Jehovah Nissi, the Lord, my standard of victory. You anoint my head with oil. He's Jehovah in Kadesh. The Lord, my holiness, my sanctification. My cup overflows. He's Jehovah Manan, the Lord, my portion. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. He's Jehovah Chelek, the Lord, my inheritance. All those things that God is showing us. Just a few of the names of God. And we've just been looking at the Lord, my helper. Jehovah Ezer, and that's why I mentioned Ebenezer, the rock that says in our lives, God has helped me. That's great to be able to look back at what God has done for you and how God has led you to certain points in your life. But God wants you to use his help. He doesn't want you to go fighting on your own. And wherever you know, God's ready to help you whenever you ask him, whenever you want him. You can plow on until you've reached your wit's end, and then you say, oh God, I need your help. Or you can do it early on and say, I've got to face this. Lord, I'm not alone. I want you to help me. I want you to give me the word that I need to say to that person. I want you to give me that touch that might just bring a bit of healing, a bit of relief to that person that you've brought me in touch with. The Lord is my helper. Jesus was the helper, but the Holy Spirit is our helper. And I want you just to think about that. I want you just to believe that God is your helper. You are not alone. You don't have to go on your own. Not only have you got God and his Holy Spirit, but you have your brothers and sisters. How many times have I called up for help from my brothers and sisters? How many times? Frank's done it so many times. Dave Webb always used to help when I had problems, especially technical things. He was just brilliant. I mean, he would just come and do it. Fabulous. But we have God as our helper. And he is the one who will sustain you. And he'll give you Ebenezers in your life. Things that you can say, God, help me to this point. Let's pray, shall we? Heavenly Father, thank you that you are the God who helps us. You are the God who does not leave us to fight our own battles. You're the God who doesn't just leave us to fend for ourselves. But you are the God who loves us so much and who wants so much of the best for us that you sent Jesus and you sent your Holy Spirit. And Lord, I pray that as we go through this coming week, we will just reach out for him and depend on him. And Lord, if we have never received either Jesus in our lives or have never had an experience of your Holy Spirit filling us, overpouring us, Lord, I pray that we won't leave this morning until we've had that. Lord, I thank you deal with each one of us in different ways. We have different personalities. But you just love us. And you just deal with us in the way that's just right for us. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.